All right, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, God being our helper tonight. I want to preach on a thought with the roll call of faith. Starting in verse 32, the Bible says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail to tell me of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were shown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. I want you to pay attention to what your Bible says, of whom the world was not worthy." Boy, you're talking about a high testimony right there, amen? How are you going to deal with that tonight? But said of these right here, of the others, that the Bible don't even tell us who it was, but said the world was not even worthy of them being here. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I'll let you sit down tonight and then we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. Lord, we thank you for the sweet spirit that we felt in our heart tonight. And Lord, I'm glad that you're real. And I'm so glad that you're still safe. Lord, before it gets too late in our life, Lord, I'm glad that you still come by and talk to folk, and I just want to deal with them. I thank you for that, Lord. But I'm glad that you are a friend tonight. I just want to come by and help us. Now, Lord, I pray while we preach for just a little while, God, that you'd touch us and anoint us afresh, and that with the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, for we cannot do anything on our own. I realize that tonight, God, that it's going to take you and that to get this job done. Lord, all I can do is read and expound upon Scripture. But if you'll reveal it in the hearts, God, the job will get done tonight. God, I pray that you might save somebody here tonight that don't know you as their personal Savior. But Lord, while we look into this Scripture, might you open our eyes, and not only our eyes, but our heart, and that to the hearing of God's Word. Lord, that it might affect us tonight and afflict us if that's what's needed. But God, that it would deal with our hearts, that we'd learn in that to live by faith and trust you tonight. Now, Lord, we love you and we thank you. Help us now. Save that sinner's nearest tail for these things. In Jesus' name, we do ask and pray. Amen. And amen. As we look in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, as that deals in that primarily with the roll call of faith. And I think we've talked about that enough over the past few months. But listen, I believe that if the Lord give us a whole chapter of people that live by faith, it would be good for us to understand how they done it. Amen. It went all the way back into that where Abel and that offered, the Bible said right here, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Actually, before that, in verse 3, it said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Everything you see out there today and the things that you do not see was spoken into existence, and that by the God that is in heaven. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You wasn't there, I wasn't there, but we believe by faith that's how it was made. Amen. But as we come, and he talked about all these folk that we've already seen, he comes down through here and he says, what shall I more say? He asked the question after he told about all these people, and then he talks about Gideon and Barak, but then he talks about this man by the name of Samson. And what is Samson known for tonight? You know, how many of us know what Samson is known for? Great strength, is he not? I know some people believe that Samson was a little bitty scrawny feller that God come on and made a great feller at one time in strength. I don't know if he was scrawny and God gave great strength, but I do know this, that God did, and that gives strength to Samson. He did do that. I do believe, as we're going to see here in a minute, as one fellow said, he did carry the gates of the city and the post with the bar also. He had to have something to put it on to carry it. Amen. I believe he probably did have a little broad back. He might have had some muscles. But listen, he done some extraordinary things, and that with the help of God. As we look at this chapter, as we finish it up, I want you to remember that we're talking about living by faith. By faith. Now faith, if we go back to the very first verse, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now friend, I don't live by blind faith. What do you mean you don't live by blind faith? The Bible says, and that for me to put my trust in the Lord. That's not blind faith tonight. I'm putting it in something and somebody. Amen. It was not blind faith when I got saved. The Holy Spirit come and dealt with my heart. And by faith, I believe that Jesus lived and died for me. And that if I would ask Him to save me, He would save me. And I'm glad on the authority of God's Word. And we looked at this in Sunday school, that you and I can believe God's Word. Amen. My faith is in this book tonight. It said that if I'd come and ask, what? He would save. Amen. How do I know that I'm saved? Because the Bible says so. That's all that you can say tonight. I mean, you can't put your hope, faith in anything else except the Word of God, that when it said, that for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10 and verse 13 said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, that is putting your faith in what God done at Calvary. Amen. So I thank the Lord for that. But we find that not only are we saved by faith, and by the way, you've got to put your faith in Him to be saved, but then we live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. I'd rather walk by sight as to walk by faith. I'll be honest with you, I'd rather, and that sometimes it's easier to grasp things when I can see it and when I can know it. And I've been like, here lately, I've kind of been like Gideon with some things. I'm just setting out the fleece and wanting God to come by and help. Amen. As I've told you, this card that I carry in my Bible was kind of a fleece, if you'd let me say that. And lo and behold, what happened? God answered and moved. I love it when He does that thing. But we find that He talks about this man called Samson. And I've told you many times as we've studied this, if you'd have left it up to me, there's some people I wouldn't have put in Hebrews chapter 11. And Samson, to be honest with you, is one of those fellas that old Mark wouldn't have put in Hebrews chapter 11. Take your Bible and go over to the book of Judges, chapter 13. Now, Judges is a time when the nation of Israel has sinned on God. I mean, they have just, the nation at this time, the generations prior and that of Joshua's time has died. And they went on to be with the Lord. And so they have turned their back on God. And God is using other nations to bring Israel back to Him. And during those times, it's like this. They would sin, and God would bring them to bondage. They'd cry out. God would send a judge to relieve them from that nation. And that judge would judge them up until the time that he or she died. And when they died, it didn't take long and that for them to fall back in idol worship. It's just a revolving door, if you'd let me say that, of just going from good to bad and good to bad. When they had things headed their way, it just didn't take them long and that to want to sin again. Can I tell you, that's the way it is in our nation today. If man does not have a compass, listen, man is missing a moral compass today and certainly missing a spiritual compass. Amen. And hey, I'm talking about folk in church that claim to be saved are missing a spiritual compass. Amen. Listen, that's why the church house ain't full tonight. It's because priorities is out of shape. That's another message for another time. Now, if you look in Judges chapter 13, and I'm just going to, we won't preach out of this chapter, but this is a time where Samson was promised. You'll look and you'll find that Samson's mother, now she's barren, and the angel of the Lord comes and makes a promise to her that she is going to have a child. And her husband Manoah, she tells him that the angel said that I'm to keep myself from the vine, I'm to keep myself from strong drink, I'm to keep myself from anything that is unclean to eat. Why? Because the Bible said in verse 5 that there'll be no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. Now I want you to understand one thing about it. God knew Samson before Samson was ever born. And you need to understand that. Hey, listen, I'm a firm believer that when that child is conceived in a mother's womb, that child is alive. Amen. As a matter of fact, your King James Bible calls him a child, calls him a babe. When it talks about when Mary walked in over there and that to Elizabeth's house, I believe it said that the babe leaped in her womb. Listen, that child is alive. Can I tell you, before you was ever birthed into this world, God in heaven knew you. Amen. And He's got a plan for your life. It's no mistake that you're here. It's no mistake. And God had a plan for Samson's life. Now, I'm not a hyper-Calvinist or a Calvinist, but I do believe that God has a plan for your life, and you just need to follow it. And so He commands her not to drink wine, eat the vine, have strong drink, or eat anything that is unclean, because he's going to be under a Nazarite vow all the days of his life. And what does that mean? Take your Bible and go to the book of Numbers chapter 6. And I'm going to preach a little while. Numbers chapter 6. Let me get this nailed down and we'll go with it. Okay, Numbers 6. Talking about the Nazarite vow. And the Bible said in verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord. Now, are you catching on something, first of all, about this vow? It's a vow that is separating themselves to the Lord. Verse 3, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of his vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in the which he separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. All the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father or for his mother, for his brother, or for his sister, that when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. All the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord. Now they could come, the children of Israel could come, and they could come under a Nazarite vow. And they could just separate themselves off to the Lord for as long as they made that vow. But the thing that's a little different about Samson is the Bible tells us at one point, I believe it is, that he's going to be a Nazarite all the days of his life. And so this is going to be a little different. That thou, thire, that being a Nazarite, means that he's separated unto the Lord. It means that, look, let me see if I can put it to you another way. Listen, the Nazarite vow is a denial of the carnal and fleshly appetites of this body. And so he's separating himself unto the Lord. Now I want you to look at the latter part of chapter 13, and we'll see Samson's early life. And the Bible said, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and what's what the Bible said, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to what? What's your Bible say? Move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So we find that in Samson's early life that God began to bless him. No doubt he knew about his Nazarite vow. No doubt his mother and father told him about his beginning and that he was to be separated and that unto the Lord. And God began to move him at times in the camp. Can I tell you, it's the Holy Spirit that'll move you by the Word of God. Listen, I believe you know, some people say the Spirit told me to do that. Now you better be careful when you say that. As long as it lines up with the Word of God, you help yourself, and that's good. But sometimes some people say God told me, or the Spirit told me, and God wasn't nowhere around. Amen. That's why little John chapter 4 said what? To try the spirits whether they be of God. Listen tonight, if it lines up and that with the Word of God, you have at it. And the Bible said right here that the Spirit of God began to move him. You know what moves me to preach tonight? Spirit of God. Amen. You know what moves you to witness to people sometimes? Spirit of God. I told you this before as I was witnessing to Miss Evelyn's son out there one day. I went out there and invited him to church. And I turned around to walk away. And the Holy Spirit, just as sweet and just as kind. I mean, he smote my heart right there on the spot. And he said, you didn't say nothing to him about me. And so I just made an about face. Just turned around and walked right back to the truck window. And I said, let me tell you about the Lord. See, I don't know if he speaks to you that way or not, but he does me. And I think it's so sweet when he does. Even though sometimes he may be rebuking me, and even though sometimes he's afflicted my heart, I'm glad he's still talking to me. I do. I'm glad he's in there, friend. How, why are you glad, friend? Because I know that I'm his tonight. Amen. The witness of the Spirit. Amen. I'm glad it's on the inside tonight. But I want you to see Samson right here in chapter 14. God has begun to use Samson. And God's got a plan for Samson's life. But I want you to see that it don't take long for Samson to begin a downfall. But in all this, his strength gets revealed. Now, if you look in verse 1, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he shod an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father, his mother, what he had done. And he went down and talked with a woman, and she pleased Samson well. Now get the idea of what's going on. Samson's looking for a wife. I'm going to tell you, they didn't go out on 3,500 dates ahead of time. I mean, he told his mom and dad, he said, I want you to go down there and get her to be my wife. And they said, well, son, they said, wouldn't it be better if we got somebody in bed of the house of the nation of Israel? And I would agree to that right there, but God had a plan. Did you read what the Bible said right there? He was going to take occasion against the nation of the Philistines over there. Let me tell you, if you say, well, see, Samson got to marry somebody and that out in the world, or was going to marry somebody and that in the world. I'm going to be honest with you, when God puts you under a Nazarite vow and we're sitting under bondage to another nation and God is going to use you to deliver our nation, then God can use you in some strange ways. Amen. But until then, I believe I'd be separated. Amen. Out of this world. Y'all catching what I'm saying tonight? Y'all catch? God had a plan there. And by the way, he don't marry this girl. It gets him in trouble. And but listen, we see that he goes down. Hey, you need to find your own. Just let me say it while I'm standing here. And I think I said it this morning, I'll say it again. You need to find your mate in church.
Amen.
Best place to find one.
Amen.
Find one in church. I'll never forget, there was a gentleman that lived up from our house there. And when he was looking for a wife, he said, I asked the Lord if it'd be all right if I could just go to these tent revivals and look for a wife. And he said, that's where I found my wife at, in a tent revival. I thought, that's pretty good. Amen. I mean, nothing wrong with that. Amen. I'm telling you, boys, young men, if you're looking for a wife, pray the Lord. Say, Lord, send one to church. Amen. Amen. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Amen. But listen, he wants to marry that woman of the Philistines. And so they go down there. And I believe this is one of the first times that Samson has ever used his great strength. The Bible said that a young lion roared against him. I don't care whether he's young or old. I've been a little concerned about this thing. Now the Bible said that David and that killed a bear and a lion. The Bible said he caught him by the beard, didn't he?
Yeah.
Amen. And he killed him. But right here, the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily on him, and he rent him as he would a kid. Now he's talking about a little lamb right there, a little goat, if you would. And he said he just took that lion and caught him and just tore him into pieces. Are you talking about a man? Samson's a man right here now. I mean, I wouldn't want to face no lion. And he tore him into pieces. But if you read the rest of this chapter, you'll find out that he tore him into pieces. He didn't tell his mom and dad, but as he was coming back through, there was a set of honeybees set up in this carcass of this lamb. Well, as a matter of fact, let's look at it. It said he went down and talked with a woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating. Now, let me stop right here and say, Samson has done some things wrong already. One, he's desired that woman of the Philistines, but God had a plan for that. But what was Samson supposed to do being a Nazarite? What was he supposed to do? He's supposed to keep himself from any dead body, wasn't he?
Amen.
He said, well, why would God require that? I don't know why God would require that, but nonetheless, he did.
Amen.
Right? Go back and look in the book of Numbers. You'll find that God required that. But he goes down there to that carcass, down there to that dead body, and he reaches his hand down in that thing and pulls out that honey. I think that's a little nasty if you want to know the truth. I'll just be honest with you. I think it's nasty myself. But here Samson was, and he's already kind of headed on a downhill slope.
Right.
Now I know the rest of the story, and we'll get there here in just a second. And so he, as they're going down there and they're having a feast, and I'm not going to read the rest of it, but he makes up a riddle, and that about that honey and that lime. And he tells his wedding party down there. He said, if you can guess this riddle, then I'll give you 30 changes of garment and give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garment. But if you can't guess it, then you're going to give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garment. And here was the riddle. Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they couldn't figure it out. And finally, Here again, we find that Samson is going to have some problems.
Amen.
And so those men that he has put this to comes to see his soon-to-be wife. And they tell her, said, if you don't get this thing figured out, we're going to end up killing you. I believe them is the words that they kind of use. As a matter of fact, they said, lest we burn thy father's house with fire. And so I believe that's a... He said, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. They got a little serious about this riddle, didn't they? Now, I like to win, but now that's going pretty good peace there. So the Bible said in verse 17, and she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of the people. And the men of the city said unto him on the 7th day, before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye not plowed with my heifer, ye had not known, or not found out my riddle. I always liked that right there. He said, boy, let me move on. Some of you ladies is already looking at me. He said, look, he said, if you wouldn't have been fooling my wife, he said, you'd never found this thing out. Or the girl's going to be my wife. He said, you never found this thing out.
Amen.
But here's the thing about it. If he'd have never told her, you see, she wouldn't have known either. But see, this is starting a trend for Samson. You say, well, I know the rest of the story, and you do too, or you should. Now, I'm asking you a question. How did a man like Samson end up in a roll call of faith? Samson is, we find that he's got great strength. We find that he has already started to kind of wane from that Nazarite vow. And the Bible said right here, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in verse 19, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil and gave change of their garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. So we see that Samson goes, kills 30 other men, takes their sheets and takes their raiment and gives to those other men, and then he goes home. But he goes home empty-handed. In chapter 15 right here, you'll find that Samson has a fight with the Philistine. He goes back down there, and I'm trying to go fast so that we don't get bogged down, but he goes down there to get his wife. He comes to find out she's been given to somebody else. And so he's in a rage, if you'd let me say that. He's just in a shape. And in verse 4, it said that he went and caught 300 foxes. Look at how he caught them foxes. I don't know if they had live traps or not. Did he go out and catch them by hand? I'm just been off. Think about this for just a second. I've never caught a fox in my life. I've been around some boys that done some fox hunting. But he went out and caught 300 foxes. And they're still alive, by the way.
Yeah.
And the Bible said he took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between the two tails. I believe he tied them together in a knot, slid the firebrand down in the middle, and as they were running out through there together, in other words, they've got fire between their tail, if they'd say that. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burn up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and the olives. He's mad.
Yeah.
I mean, he's seeking retribution on them. And the Bible said that it came through there that the Philistines wanted to know who done this, who burned everything. And so the Philistines come up and burn his father-in-law and his girl, then the lady, the woman that was going to be his wife, burnt them with fire. And Samson in verse 7 said unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the rock of Etam. Now, if you read the rest of this story, after he had whooped up on all these Philistines, and after he'd killed a multitude of them, he goes up out of the rock of Etam. And so the Philistines set out against the nation of Judah, or against the tribe of Judah, and they come up and they ask him, what are you doing setting out against us? And they said, we've come for Samson. And so Judah goes out and gets Samson. They go up there and they say, you got to come with us. And Samson said, well, what are you going to do with it? He said, we'll take you down to the Philistines. And he said, just don't fall on me yourself. In other words, don't you try to kill me. See, Samson was smart right there. And they bind him with some cords. The Bible said right there that, let me see if I can find it right here. It said in verse 10 that they come to bind him. It said in verse 12, and they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said to him, swear to me that you will not follow me yourselves. And so the Bible said in verse 13, they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came from unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. They thought they were going to kill him. I mean, I can imagine as Judah's bringing him out, he's in the front. They know what Samson looks like. I mean, they know. They've seen Samson. They've had to deal with him. They've had to fight with him. And I can imagine as he's coming out through there, and the Bible said the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became his flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loose from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. He didn't have a sword, didn't have a knife, he had the jawbone of an ass holding it in his hand, and he killed 1,000 men. Now he had the power of God on his life.
Amen.
We can't do that.
Amen.
I mean, we might have some great men of valor in here, but I'm going to tell you what, there was no way without the help of God that was going to come to pass. The Bible said in verse 17, well, let me go back to verse 16. With the jawbone of an ass, and Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. Let me ask you this right here. The Bible said that it was a new one. Reckon that was a dead animal? Just give you something to think about. He wasn't supposed to be around dead things, was he? Just give me something to look at, something to think about. So when God did come on him mightily. But it was a new one. No man had ever used it either, by the way. Well, let's look right here. And it came to pass when he made them speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and he called the place Ramath-Lehi. And he was sore thirst, and called on the Lord and said, thou hast given me this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof and in Hokorah, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. So after he got done whipping them 1,000 men, his body was wore out. He was still flesh, by the way.
Amen.
Amen. Samson was still just a man.
That's right.
A great man with the mighty Spirit of God upon him, but he was still just a man. And so God hollowed out a place in the jawbone of that ass, and he let water pull up in it, and he could drink out of it. And God strengthened him. Now remember, the writer of the book of Hebrews chapter 11 said, time would fail to tell us about Samson. Look in chapter 16. Samson kills them all with a great slaughter over there. Chapter 16. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. Now, if the Nazarite vow is one of separation unto God and to keep our carnal appetites and our fleshly appetites under control, he is on a continual downfall and on a continual downslide. One of Samson's worst trouble was women.
Amen.
I'm just being honest tonight. His problem was women. He said, then went Samson down to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went into her, and it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all the night in the gate of the city. And there were quiet and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. Boy, that was their mistake, wasn't it? And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. He just went out there to the gate of the city, laid down up under them things and stood straight up and just carried the gate, post, bar, everything, and walks up to the top of the hill and just carries them. I mean, just picks them up and carries them. I don't know how big these things were, but they were probably huge. They were probably massive. And I know one thing, he was strong. And so he goes up there to the top of the hill, and they're not going to have nothing to do with him. But here in chapter 16 is where Samson really begins to make his downfall. In verse 4 it says, it came to pass after that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Oh, here's where he gets in trouble. Remember I told you that Samson's problem was women. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, and that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. That's a lot of money. Every one of the lords of the Philistines are going to give her 1,100 pieces of silver apiece. Now can I tell you that Samson loved her? That's what your Bible says. But can I tell you that Delilah never loved Samson?
Amen.
She was no more loved Samson. Listen, all she wanted to do was sell him out.
Amen.
The best that she could. I'm going to tell you something tonight, young folk. You better be careful who you fall in love with. And you better make sure that they fall in love with you. I just let God do the picking and the choosing. Amen. It works out a whole lot better if he does that. Let me put my glasses on. Amen.
Amen.
It does. And so right here it says of Delilah in verse 6 said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Now you think that Samson would have a little smarts about him. And he don't tell her right away. Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he break the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire, so his strength was not known. So she gets them withs, them wreaths, if you would, and she binds him up while he's asleep and says, the Philistines are on us. There's men in her chamber, and he just breaks them loose and goes over and kills them. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou smote me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou must be done. You know, if she asked me that again, I'd begin to scratch my head.
Amen. There you go.
I mean, you could say one time, yeah, she wants to know where it's at. And she's pulled a fasting on me.
Yeah.
Well, she's up to something.
Right.
I mean, this is what I'd be thinking in my head.
Amen.
I mean, this girl is up to something, wanting to know where my strength lies and wanting to get me killed. Love will make a man do crazy things.
Amen.
I don't believe I'd ever told her. And he said unto her, look in verse 11, if they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liars in wait about him in the chapel, and he in the chamber, and he brake them off his arms like a thread. Wham! There he went. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me therewith thou mightest be bound, that thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He awakened out of sleep and went away with the pin, a beam with the web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and thou hast not told me wherein thy great strength lies. And I, you know what I'd have told her? And I ain't going to neither. I mean, she's trying to get me killed. I mean, is that not what you read?
Amen. Amen.
Seems like he would have had better smarts than that. Just being honest. Listen to me, young people. You better be careful who you run with. They'll get you killed if you ain't careful.
Amen.
Now, here's where we really run into problems at. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily and with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Man, she's killing me. And verse 17 tells it all, that he told her all his heart. That's where he got in trouble. She just continually vexed him, pushed on him, cried around, whined around, begged, pleaded, "Oh, Samson, you don't love me. You won't tell me where your strength lies. Why won't you tell me? If you love me, you'd tell me. You'd just let me know. I'll keep it secret from everybody else." And finally, day in and day out, she pressed on him daily until he had just had enough. He said, "Enough's enough. I believe I'd have went home."
Amen.
Amen. Love makes you blind, because this girl's wanting to kill him. And he said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." Oh, Samson. Told where his strength lied, didn't he? And when Delilah saw that, boy, I tell you, you better be careful about giving all your heart. You're going to catch that here in just a second. You better be careful who you give all your heart to. I got a young lady right over here. She's got all my heart. But you know what? If you date one for a little while and give a little bit of your heart here and give a little bit of heart there and a little bit of your heart there and a little bit of your heart there, you ain't got much to give to the one that you're going to marry. I know that seems a little silly, but I'm just being honest tonight. And when Delilah saw that he told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he hath shown me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. She could see that his strength was gone. Now this verse right here scares me just about as much as any other verse in the Bible. When I look at this verse, I want you to look what it says. "And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him." That verse scares me to death. That verse scares because I don't ever want to be guilty of standing where I'm at and thinking that God's just going to show up. The Bible said he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. The power of God wasn't going to be there this time.
Amen.
God wasn't going to come by. Amen. He said, "I'm just going to go out and I'm going to shake myself like I've done before." And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. Can you imagine when he got up and he got ready to fight and they bound him and he couldn't go free? In all his life, he's never been that way.
Amen.
And they've bound Samson. What got him in trouble? He told all his heart, didn't he? Mm-hmm. So the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Think that'd have been smart, don't you? I mean, they know where his strength lied, lied in his hair. God had blessed that thing, you see. Then the Lord of the Philistines gathered them together for offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their God, and rejoice, for they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." You remember what happened one time when they done that, when the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant? They took the Ark of the Covenant back there during Eli's day, during Samuel's day, when Eli, Hophni and Phinehas went out to fight the battle and lost the Ark of the Covenant, they brought it over there to the temple of Dagon, and they put the Ark of the Covenant in there. And the Bible said the next day they come in there, and Dagon was fell down on his face toward that Ark of the Covenant. They said they set him back up, and the next day they come in and his hands was cut off and his head was cut off. They figured right then they better get rid of the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. So they're worshiping Dagon. And so they said, it's Dagon that has brought us our enemy, Samson. No, it was Samson's stupidity.
Amen.
Samson's love for a woman that got him in trouble. And when, no doubt the devil had something to do with it. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered in our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. Boy, only if they know what was coming. Kind of like this world. They're having a great time right now. They just don't know what's coming. We're trying to tell them what's coming. We're trying to tell them judgment's coming. Jesus is soon to come. He's going to come and get the church. Judgment is going to be wrought and add up on the face of this earth. And by the way, if you die in your sin, the Bible said in Hebrews 9:27, actually, you don't even have to die in your sin. It said, wherefore, Hebrews 9:27 said, as it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, we all going to stand in judgment one day. I'm just going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, not at the great white throne judgment, where sinners stand. But boy, they never going to have a time. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson, that he may make a sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. I mean, they were just having a big time with Samson, making fun of him, letting him do some menial tasks. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, notice he's been led by a little child. You see what he's brought down to? You see what giving all his heart to the wrong woman done? Now he's being led around by a little child. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars upon where the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. And the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were up on the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, now out of all the times that I read this here, and you can go back and you correct me if I'm wrong. Just don't do it right now. We'll talk about it at the back door. I believe this is the only time I found where Samson prayed. I'm not going to say they did pray. I'm going to tell you this is where it's recorded at. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may at once avenge of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Man, what a horrible thought. You want to die with the enemy? I don't want to die with the enemy. I want to die with God's people. Look where he's at. He's down there in the house of another God, and they're making fun of him. And he's fixing to have to kill himself to get all them killed. And so he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew in his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zoar and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel for 20 years. The writer in the book of Hebrews said, I want to remind you of Samson. The time would fail me to tell you about Samson. I think somewhere when Samson had great strength, Samson probably knew where it came from. I mean, he knew where his strength was, but he knew that it resided in the Lord. Because if you go back and you look at the very first thing that I told you all the way back here in the beginning, and a woman bare a son and called his name Samuel, and the child grew and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zoar and Eshtaol. He knew who was doing that. You know when the Spirit of the Lord moves you. But I think somewhere along the line, Samson began to think some things about himself. He began on a downhill slope. That Nazarite vow didn't mean as much to him as it probably should. And listen, after a while, I've watched great, there's great preachers that remain great up until the end. And you know why? They remember where their strength lies. But I've watched great preachers that forgot where their strength lies at. And you know what happens? They end up like Samson. than if like Samson. Now there's been times, there's no doubt, that I've stood behind this pulpit and other pulpits and been preaching and forgot where my strength lies. But not on a day-to-day basis. But the writer right here said that Samson had some faith. I believe we find it evident at the very end. He asked God to do something right here. He prayed and sought the Lord and said, would you do this? Would you just let me have strength enough to do this? I'm going to tell you, sometimes we get like Samson if we ain't careful. What do you mean we get like Samson? We tend to forget where our strength lies. Right? Our strength lies in the Lord. Now, it don't lay in our hiring. We're not under the Nazarite vow. But our strength lies in the Lord. And as long as we're trying to do things on our own, we're going to mess it up. Every time. We're going to mess it up. Can I tell you tonight, if you're trying to do something on your own, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. And you need to just depend on the Lord to get done. Let's bow our heads tonight, if we would. Let's get us a verse of invitation. Brother Lewis, if, when you come, when you get a song ready, you just start playing. That'll be fine. Just kind of looking at the life of Samson tonight awful fast. But the writer in the book of Hebrews said that Samson had lived by faith. That Samson had some faith in his life. Can I ask you tonight how your faith is doing? How's your faith tonight? How's your faith doing? The preacher, I have messed up drastically. I mean, just messed up. And hey, I'm going to tell you, you can mess up and still get right with God. You can. You can mess up. You can forget where your strength lies. You can get wrong with God, but you sure enough can get right with Him if you would tonight. Listen, I just wanted to remind you tonight that strength don't lie in us, but it lies in Him.